had received a call from the hospital saying that they were seeing an increase of people presenting to their emergency room high on these bath salts, and creating difficulties not only in the treatment of these individuals, but it created public safety issues where they were violent and had to be restrained by a considerable number of people. That kind of what prompted that, and then we were also seeing some police activity in terms of busts of some of these what we'll call head shops that were selling these things even after the bans were in place. And then, unfortunately, and probably one of the things that prompted most of this was the death of an individual in our county as a result of using these bath salts. So all those things kind of created a heightened awareness and increased effort on our parts to do something. And so we convened a meeting with, as you said, the healthcare officials, health department, mental health department, various departments within Madison County, local law enforcement, some of the local nonprofits that deal with alcohol and substance abuse types of issues, to bring people together saying, what's happening? What are we seeing? What can we do about it in addition to or above and beyond the existing bans?
Is this a problem in the high schools at the college level, or is there an age group involved here?
We asked that question, and what we were being told, again, anecdotally from who was presenting and who we were seeing, was the mid-20s to, you know, early 40s age group is what we were seeing, or at least for the bath salts.
So what is the law right now in the state? I know Senator Schumer wants to get a bill through that would ban this on a federal level, but is there some patchwork of laws right now?
Well, my understanding at the state level, back in May 20th, 2011, the Commissioner of Health for New York State issued a ban on these bath salts. And subsequently, I think the two of the ingredients, and I cannot pronounce the names of these, two of the chemicals that are the main components of these bath salts were identified as Category 1 or scheduled substances, meaning that they're illegal substances even to possess. But the ban that was issued was for the sale and distribution. And then those two chemical derivatives are actually, it's illegal, they're illegal substances.
Is this an easy thing to manufacture, or is this coming in from out of the county?
My understanding that it's coming from out of the county. We've heard it's coming from out of the country, but I've also heard of people manufacturing it around the country. As to whether or not it's being manufactured locally, I can't speak to that. My understanding that is, though, it is easy, relatively easy to manufacture.
What are some of the reactions, some of the health risks that happen when a person ingests bath salts?
Well, there's several health risks. Extreme agitation, there's insomnia, paranoia, delusions, depression, panic attacks, suicidal thoughts, things like that. The users experience like rapid heart rates, chest pains, even nose bleeding, sweating, nausea, and there's a strong potential for heart attack or stroke as a result of these things.
So what's the next step? You had this meeting earlier. What happens now?
Well, one of the first things that we were trying to think of, what can we do, you know, outside of what's already legally out there, what can we do locally? And we identified kind of three tracks that we want to approach. First, we identified that even though there's been some national attention to a few of these cases, like the gentleman in Miami that attacked the individual and chewed on his face, and then, you know, the woman that died in our county and some individuals elsewhere, we identified the need for just a greater awareness. We felt that the general public really didn't know much about bath salts. They heard about these bizarre situations, but really didn't know about the substance and the issues locally. So one of the first things we're going to do is a much stronger education outreach and prevention campaign, trying to educate not only the general public, but we're also going to target some specific groups, law enforcement agencies, EMS, the ambulance people. We're going to target the colleges and universities. We're going to target healthcare providers, more so in terms of, you know, because a lot of these individuals have to deal with these individuals that are high on these substances. So how do you deal with these people? What are some of the signs, symptoms, and other issues associated with it? The other track that we're looking at is, you know, they're coming to the hospitals, and from what we're understanding from the hospitals, they use an extraordinary amount of sedatives to get these people under control, and in addition to other issues that they have to deal with in the emergency room. And so what are some of the clinical things that we can do when these people do present? And then after they're treated at the hospital and released, are there behavioral health counseling or services that we can look at to help provide these individuals so they don't go back to do it again? And so, and then the last track was, what can we do more so with local enforcement through our law enforcement and protect public safety? So those are the three tracks that we're looking at. We have groups that have kind of broken out each in those areas to kind of further develop and put those into play. Like I said, we've only had one meeting, so we hope to start meeting on a monthly basis and move those three things forward.